in this vast multiverse.
Aloha and welcome to today's episode of Ancient Oblivion. Today, we're going to be talking about giants, but not just did giants exist in the past. We're really going to focus on the question of will giants return? We know that giants are something that did exist in the past. There's plenty of evidence the world across and across the historic record for gigantism existing, specifically in humans. Gigantism existed in the animal kingdom, which has been documented by modern academics, and they talk about the time whenever the animals were huge and gigantic and the insects were huge and gigantic. But the thing that they tend to skip over is the time whenever the humans were huge and gigantic, massive stature. The Bible refers to this time or these people as the men of renown, the heroes of old. So we're going to talk about the men of renown and the heroes of old. I'm not just going to talk about giants, but also superheroes as well. Now, I'm going to get right into things as far as when I believe giants will return. Now, I will say that I do believe there's a remnant. There's probably giants that still exist. It's just that the stories about them indicates that they're in hiding, basically. And I don't blame them. And I would even speculate that those giants that do exist, if they do exist, that they're much smaller than they used to be. According to the myths and the legends that we read about, what's up, everybody in the chat? According to all the myths and the legends, they indicate that they were way bigger than, you know, when people these days talk about giants, they infer that the giants were like 10, 11, maybe 12 feet. I'm talking about at least 20 feet tall. I'm talking about real gigantic beings that were taller than two-story buildings. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. If you want a little more context for my theory on this, do check out my Plasma Apocalypse playlist, which goes into great detail as to how these things happen as well. But I believe that we're on the verge of the apocalypse, and I believe that the apocalypse is something that happens to our world cyclically, that it occurs from time to time, and sometimes a lot of time passes in between those cycles. But one of the things that contributes to gigantism in our world is the pressure, how much pressure is pushing in all around us, and the conditions that may change to relieve that pressure in our world. The reason that we have weather patterns in our world is because of all that pressure that we have in the world. So they call those pressure systems, basically. So imagine that you live inside of a pressurized container that's constantly increasing in pressure all of the time, pushing and pushing and pushing in on every square inch of your body over time. And then over time, all of the resources and all of the oxygen and things like that start to get used up. And all of the things that would contribute to gigantic growth, they dwindle over time. And so does our stature. So does our height, and so does our lifespans, and many other things too. We get sicknesses and diseases and stuff. So I make reference to this quite often, that we're basically babies, we're children, in comparison to those who came much long ago, or much further back in the past, who the records indicate lived to be hundreds and hundreds of years old, and even that they were giants. As a matter of fact, there's many different legends and myths that talk about and speculate on the sizes of some of the ancient biblical patriarchs. For example, Adam. In the Middle East, they've actually created a garment that would be for Adam to fit him, and it's like, I don't know, I'm guessing like 30 feet tall or something like that. It's a huge, gigantic garment. But gigantism will return to our world one day. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun, and I completely believe that that's true. And I also believe that things happen cyclically in our world, that things eventually return to the way that they once were. So if giants once did exist in our world, then it stands to reason, if things are cyclical, that the giants will return to our world one day. So let's talk about the possibility and how it might happen, right? I believe that the world is going, that our atmosphere is going to depressurize one of these days. And when that happens, basically it blows out of the top and blows a hole up in the sky. And all that pressure is released. And when all that pressure is released, it has an adverse effect on weight and how much things weigh and how dense things are in this world. And so you have to imagine those of us who survive, those of us who make it past this pressure release, if you're already past the point of puberty, or at least this phase of puberty that we experience in this lifetime, I think that there's probably many phases if you extend a lifespan over hundreds of years. But if you're already past this point of puberty, it's possible that you may grow a bit, but nothing in comparison to what your children and their children will grow, because they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's kind of like whenever you take a goldfish and you put it into a small bowl and it stays small. If you put it into a really big aquarium, a goldfish will continue to grow and grow and grow to match the conditions of the world that it lives in. As will we, and as did we in the past. As a matter of fact, I believe gigantism was common knowledge, because commonly, the common person a long time ago, before our written records and whatnot, in the time of myth and legend, that the common person was gigantic, that the common people were giants. So there was really no need to speak of giants, because when giants talk about giants, they're talking about anomalously large beings that we call titans today, right? Which will also exist. There's also anomalies that will be smaller and those that will be much bigger. We, the grown-ups of this world, right? We will be the anomalies who are much smaller. And our children, they grow and they get larger and larger in comparison as they are brought forth in a world that has completely different conditions that allow them to grow so large. Now, this is really crucial too, because I've seen some people that, you know, basically argue against gigantism, saying that it's impossible for humans to get so big. Like, there's only a certain size that a human can grow, and otherwise their body would collapse on itself and their bones would break and stuff. Okay, I could see the logic in that in today's world under these conditions. But when these conditions of this world change, including our DNA structure, including our atmosphere and the way that we're used to living in this world, then it becomes a very real possibility that people can grow to huge and gigantic sizes, and that their body would be able to support their weight because they would weigh much less in that world to come under different atmospheric conditions than they would weigh being giants of the same stature under these conditions, under all this pressure that we live under right now. So the pressure release is a huge part of it, and the increased oxygen supply. I believe that even in academics, they actually make reference to this, and they talk about it all the time, how there was way more oxygen in our atmosphere. They'll pull it out of ice core samples. They'll pull it out of rocks and stuff like that, and they admit that we used to have at least twice as much oxygen in our atmosphere. So where'd all that oxygen come from, right? And a better question would be, is that oxygen supply, that increased oxygen supply, going to return to our world? I believe it will. I believe that the Earth on the inside creates various gases. One of those is oxygen, and that oxygen will be released one day, ionized, and shoot out in these plasma columns and beams that will fill our entire atmosphere once again with fresh oxygen all over the place. And I also believe that this is referenced in many different movies too. So basically, we survive. We make it through the apocalypse, and our children, instead of getting smaller and smaller and smaller over time, as has been the trend over a long period of time, don't get me wrong, there's anomalies and exceptions where people are starting to get tall, basketball players and things like that, but in general, if you just look at the general height, it's getting smaller and smaller. People's lifespans are shrinking, etc. Now, the modern world will try to convince me otherwise. They'll try to tell me, oh no, you know, we're so much more advanced now, and we have medicines, and we're living longer, and we're getting bigger. I don't see the evidence for that. When I look back at the ancient record, when I look back across time and I use comparative mythology to reference the height and the sizes of people, they seemed to be a lot bigger and a lot taller, especially the further back you go into what I call our ancient oblivion, or those times that existed During the forgotten times, during our forgotten history or our hidden history or our past. Anyways, so we survive and then our children grow to be really big. Now, you have to imagine this. They may be growing to gigantic sizes, right? So their muscles will grow to gigantic sizes as well. However, their muscles won't be as strong as our muscles are. Those of us who survive. Actually, every single person, well, I don't want to say every person, but many people who lived in your modern world right now, many of you who are watching right now, many of the people who are in the chat right now, just your average regular muscles that you have just from living under these conditions. It doesn't matter if you work out. It doesn't matter if you've got, you know, huge biceps or, you know, if you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or anything. In comparison to those who will be born into a world with less pressure and therefore everything weighs a lot less, and even what we would call gravitational pull is lessened, right? Which allows people like us to be able to jump huge leaps in a single bound, like how they say Superman does, right? There's a lot of truth to the comic books and to the myths and the legends and to fantasy and fiction and stuff. Where does it come from? It comes from a time when it was real. It comes from a time whenever we had giants and we had superheroes and we had those who had survived the prior apocalypse who came into a new world. It's just like that movie John Carter of Mars. Remember that one? John Carter of Mars, where he went from Earth to Mars, and because the conditions of Mars, the atmospheric conditions and the gravity on Mars is less, I guess, he was basically a superhero. He had to learn how to walk all over again. If you saw that live stream that I did yesterday about India landing on the moon and stuff, I showed you some of the astronauts and how they were like, they were struggling to try to walk. Not that I'm saying any of that was real, but I'm saying if it was, you could understand why they were falling and, you know, messing up so much. They had to relearn how to just do something as simple as walking under these new conditions. So also think about this, right? The giants, as you'll see by many of these pictures, are often portrayed in today's world as being enemies, as being evil, and they're all bad, and they all ate people, and they're all cannibals and stuff like that. I don't think so. I don't see the reason behind that, that they would just instantly, just because they're large, that they would be cannibalistic. If anything, I believe that immediately after the apocalypse, there's so much energy increased in our world that people don't need to eat, or they only need to eat a bare minimum amount in comparison to the hunger that we experience today. And that's the whole reason why we eat, is because we're low on energy, right? So whenever the world is energetically amplified and there's electricity streaming throughout the atmosphere and along the ground and coming out of the ground all over the place, then it stands to reason that we also, in turn, will be energetically amplified, and that that will have an effect on our sleep. It will have an effect on our hunger, if we have hunger, right? Remember when we did that episode about the mutants and people mutating and stuff during the apocalypse and afterwards? There was a class of humans that was listed in ancient records. There's different classes of humans if you go far back. There wasn't just regular old humans. And I'm not talking about races. I'm talking about mutant human beings, right? And one of those classes of mutant humanoids, they were said to not have mouths, and they were said to not eat. Their form of eating was smelling things like flowers and stuff like that, because they didn't need to, which meant that they were energetically amplified. They didn't require those things. So their DNA adjusted, shifted, and made the necessary changes for them to live in that world that they lived in, right? But if they become survivors and their world conditions change, all of a sudden they're freaks. All of a sudden they're outcasts. All of a sudden they look strange to, you know, to all the people who are born into those new conditions. So we keep going back and forth between these different atmospheric conditions in our world, and it creates these different norms, these different things that those people in their own modern world are used to. And so the world before that becomes complete fiction and fantasy. And if you stretch it out long enough, it's seen as lies and stupid and children's stories and stuff that shouldn't really be talked about by rational thinking grown-ups and adults and stuff. However, like I said, if it just takes a quick glance, right? Not even a very long search, and you can find ample evidence that giants existed in times past. So think about this as far as the giants being evil or good. They're just people, okay? They're human beings just like we are, or humanoid, I should say. And they grow to gigantic sizes. So some things about them may appear different. Some of their ways of life may change drastically from what we're used to being so small. For example, like you can see in this picture right here, how these giants are depicted as like kind of shaggy and things growing off of them. Oftentimes they have very long hair, etc. Well, that's because, you know, they're not going to have a lot of supplies to make huge, gigantic clothing. I'm not saying it's impossible, because I'm sure that they did have gigantic clothing, but I'm sure that there's going to be some people who just wander about, right? Strays that wander the world, and, you know, they might be naked, or they might have a loincloth, or they might, you know, put something together or whatever to cover certain parts. But if they're that big, think of all the moss and all the stuff that might actually just grow on their skin, walking around barefoot for years after years after years, for hundreds of years. And this is where the stories of like trolls and stuff come from. Others might be more concerned about their looks and their appearance and their beauty, and they may be seen as more more approachable, I guess, and less terrifying and less scary and stuff too. I like how they make this guy, this lumberjack, they made some of these giants lumberjacks and stuff too, which makes sense. So if you have family that grows to gigantic sizes, you have children, they have children, and eventually they get bigger and bigger, right? It stands to reason that they're going to still help out with family work. They're still going to help out and, you know, do chores and stuff like that to help their family in ways that only a giant could, just like we would help them out in ways that only small people could, right? So for example, there's something called dolmens, right? The dolmens, you see a lot of pictures of dolmens. They're basic. They look like the Flintstones house, basically. So they're huge, megalithic structures. Usually it's just two, right? Walls, like two slabs of rock on each side to act as walls, and then a huge rock placed on top. A giant, it's obviously a house. I mean, it's like, that's what I feel like, okay? I look at it, I'm like, that's a house. Like, that's a makeshift house for post-apocalyptic dangerous times, whenever pieces of ice are falling from the sky, you know, possibly threatening to crush things. There's electricity up there. Who knows what's going on, right? And I believe that it's reasonable to assume that if the survivors, who are small in stature in comparison to those who will grow into that age, right? If they did have children that grew to be gigantic sizes, those children might be able to help out and, you know, lift heavy objects and stuff, and also go to war too, which is actually, that's attested in many different scriptures and writings from times past, where giants were employed in wars, that they helped out. And, you know, what's the motivation there? What's the best motivation? Is that a giant is related to the family that's going to war, so the giant is employed to also go to war, or the giant wants to help out and it wants to go to war. So you would have these instances where there would be giants that would actually go to war too. And that's attested in what's known as the Titanomachy, or the Gigantomachy, you could say too. And that is the war between the giants. There's the Dead Sea Scrolls. They talk about these writings that the giants actually had smaller people to help them, to sort of dictate as they were telling them the stories of the ancient past. And the giants were said to live for a very long time too. So it stands to reason that some giants would be benevolent, depending upon, you know, your relationship with that person, because that's what they are. They're a person. Just because they're huge and they look like they're moving in slow motion and stuff doesn't make them less of a person, just in the same way that we regard ants or insects or bugs or whatever, right? Which is really interesting, because that's what there's a story in the Old Testament in the Bible where the tribes of Israel were looking for the promised land. And so they sent out some scouts. Those scouts went out into this land that was known to be inhabited by giant humans. I'm not talking about humans that are 10 feet tall. I'm talking about massive humans that are like 20 feet and above, huge, titanic beings. When those two scouts, now keep in mind, these were like according to the story, these were a people of God. These were a people that had strict rules about righteousness and being honest and things like that. So they come back and they say, what'd you see in the promised land? What'd you see? What, like, is there any danger? First, they brought back giant fruits and vegetables. Okay, so they're like, well, here you go. Here's gigantic fruit, just so you know. But the bad news is there's also huge, giant people. They're so giant that to them, we looked like bugs. I'm paraphrasing. They looked like, I think they said that we looked like grasshoppers or something, right? Which meant that we would grow up to like maybe the ankles of these massive beings. And there's stories about, like, for example, Moses went to war against King Og of the race of giants too, who was the said to be the leader of the giants. And Moses, in order to bring down King Og, the legends indicate that Moses was between 10 and 15 feet tall, and he carried a staff with him. Sometimes the story says it's a staff, sometimes they say it was, you know, a sword or some other thing, right? But his weapon was as tall as he was, which was about 15 feet tall, you know, between 12 and 15. That was your average height, I believe. And they went up against giants. So Moses had to jump as tall as he was. This is how the story goes. He had to jump up twice his own height, right? So he jumped up twice as tall as he already is, which is like, you know, 10 to 15 feet tall, just to hit King Og and slice him in his Achilles tendon. To bring him down so that they could, you know, get on him and stab him and kill him or whatever, right? Which makes sense if you're trying to bring down a giant, that you would go for the Achilles tendon. Because if you slice the Achilles tendon, I'm not talking about the ankle and some bone or something like that. I'm talking about the tendon. That'll bring a person down real quick. They will fall straight down to the ground. And these are the stories that have been passed on to us that are now considered legends and fiction and fairy tales and straight up lies. If you just, you know, if you ask people if that really happened or not, they'll say no. They say no, that couldn't have happened, because they're thinking with the modern mind. They're thinking with what they're used to and their surroundings around them. They're not thinking about how the world was changed in the past, right? It's not just like, oh yeah, we had dinosaurs, we had giant bugs and stuff. Oh, but it was the exact same as how it is today. No. Everything was altogether different. Everything was completely changed and reset, because they had gone through a great reset. And if we go through a great reset, and it stands to reason that you know, we're also going to feel like outsiders in a brand new world. And all those people who grow up, those children that grow up and become giants and whatnot, in that world, they'll become accustomed to it. That will be their normal. To us who survive and retain our memories, it will be the strangest thing ever. And we'll be able to sit down and tell stories of the modern world and how things used to be that will seem like fairy tales and seem like lies to some and seem like magic and wondrous and fantastic, right? It'll seem like we came from a wonderland, when in reality, to us, it seems like we went into and entered into a wonderland ourselves. So that's the story of like the good and the evil. There's always going to be good and evil, etc. Now, I do believe that the conditions slowly started to change after the reset, and that they will once again, right? So once we make it past the apocalypse, then gigantism is restored to this world. We remain the same size, most of us, okay? We might grow a bit bigger, okay? There might have some adverse effects, but not as much as those that will happen to those who are born into that world, and they experience it, and that's their normal, right? So we grow into this world and we become the superheroes, which is what the Bible calls men of renown, right? They said that there was giants in those days and also afterwards. And these were the men of renown. Men of renown are basically well-known. They're superheroes, okay? So for example, super strength is something that we will just naturally have whenever everything in the world weighs much less. If your maximum weight that you can pick up right now is like a 20-pound weight, imagine in the world to come, that 20-pound weight now feels like it's 2 pounds or less. You know, I'm just making up the numbers in my head, but it's something along those lines. And you can take a 20-pound weight and throw it as far as you would a 2-pound weight, or you know, vice versa or whatever. So super strength is one of those things that will be attributed to us. Those who are born into that world won't have super strength because their muscles will be accustomed to lifting up, you know, very weak objects or very, very light objects, right? In comparison to what we're used to just walking around, supporting our own weight in the world. You know what I mean? So some people will have, you know, inherit various powers. The superpowers is the easiest one to explain. There will also be some who will have your DNA changed in various ways. It all depends upon your proximity to, you know, various strands of plasma, how strong those are, what types of gases that plasma is made out of and stuff. However, I do believe that it has the ability to really kick into gear your elastin that's in your skin, and your skin, it will continuously just regenerate. So people, it's kind of like the fountain of youth is restored to the world. So those who are old will see themselves starting to become young very quickly once more as their lifespans are extended and as their cells start to activate the way that they're supposed to work and regenerate, right? And including the elastin in the skin, so you'll be able to stretch, some of you. Okay, I don't know how prolific it's going to get with, you know, with all the humans, but I do know that it seems like there's been clues and breadcrumbs dropped to me that people will have longer lives. Those of us who make it will not only be super strong, right? And also there's attributes that come along with that, being super fast and being able to jump super high and almost look like you're flying through the air compared to people who don't have that kind of muscle structure, right? So we'll be able to jump tall buildings in a single bound, much like Superman and stuff. And who better to fight giants, right? The people who are born into that world, who are smaller as the giants get bigger and bigger, those smaller people are going to be weaker and weaker. So they're going to be like, oh no, there's giants attacking when that does happen. Who else are they going to call? Us. The survivors, the men of renown and the women of renown, right? And it's not just men and women. But I also want to touch on, like, how is it possible? Because a lot of people are like, well, you couldn't have had giants because they couldn't procreate with regular sized people, right? Which I believe they could, actually. Now, I wouldn't picture it in your mind as like someone who's 5 feet tall, you know, trying to procreate with somebody who's 20 feet tall. Obviously, that's a pretty huge difference. But you have to understand that there's a gradient between the two, right? And even if somebody's a little smaller or even a lot smaller or a lot taller, it still can happen. And on top of that, giving birth, right? So giving birth will be, for you women out there, this will be a superpower that you inherit that you will probably enjoy, okay? Pain will go away. It will basically go away in childbirth. The reason that pain exists during childbirth right now is because of the cellular structure of our skin and the elastin that's not really super activated right now. So your skin's not as stretchy as it would be under different conditions whenever your elastin is being produced the right way, and your collagen and the stuff that creates your skin. It will bring us back to the way we're supposed to be. And it's not like you'll be stretchy and then your skin will get stuck. It'll be your elastin will work, because elastin is the stuff in the skin that snaps it back into place where it should be. The reason that we get wrinkly and old and stuff as we age in this age is because we live during a time of exponential entropy when everything is breaking down and degrading, including our cellular structure. So the elastin stops producing the way that it normally would and should, like in children and babies and toddlers and stuff, right? Where their skin just snaps right back and stays super soft forever or until they get older. But that will be like us. We'll have that baby soft skin restored to us. The elastin will be restored, and you'll be able to stretch just like you see in many comic books where there's different superheroes. There's a manga called One Piece that's a really good example. Like the main character in that is a really good example of like what it would be like if you had stretchy skin. Keep in mind, a lot of those comic books and cartoons and Marvel and DC comics and all that stuff, they cartoonify it, so they take it to an extreme degree. So will you be able to, like, you know, shoot your neck out all super far and wrap it around the bad guy and, you know, boa constrict him with your neck or whatever? I don't know. Probably not. You know, but would you be able to stretch a bit more? Yeah, I definitely think so. So basically my point is, when you give birth, you'll be more stretchy in the needed areas. So it's, it, you just comes right out. You don't need to, you know, there's not going to be all this like breathe, push. Oh, there's so much pain. Don't think about it. And all that stuff is going to be gone. And as a matter of fact, this is actually referenced in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. These were one of the curses that was placed whenever Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. One of the curses that was placed on Eve is that she would experience pain during childbirth, right? So if everything is cyclical and there will be a return to Eden, or Hyperborea as I like to call it, then it stands to reason that there will be a return of natural birth that is painless, which is the way it should be. You shouldn't be in pain when you're producing life. It should be a joyous experience. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that, you know, women aren't happy when they're giving birth or whatever, but you know, I would be remiss not to just dismiss all the pain that comes along with childbirth and trying to squeeze something gigantic through something that's hopefully tiny. You know what I mean? So that's one of the superpowers that you will all get, right? So we basically become superheroes, those of us who survive, right? Now, there'll be varying degrees of that as well. So for example, telekinesis, okay? Or being able to use and employ your spirit energy, your chakras, your aura, whatever you want to say. There's people now that they don't need this explained to them. They already feel and sense and use their chakras and their auras and their spirit energy. They use it in different ways, though. People are talented with those things in different ways in the modern world when we have hardly any of it, just a glimpse of it. So imagine what your area of specialty will be whenever you take what you're already kind of good at. You know, like some people, for example, some people have premonitions, okay? Imagine that your premonitions become amplified. Or imagine that, you know, some people can move things with their thoughts, essentially, right? Telekinesis. Like some people can make a door, like, waver back and forth just by, like, concentrating on it or whatever. It'll start to move. I actually did this when I was a child. I was practicing this. And the more you practice, the better you'll be when that time comes, too. And this is also a reason why the movies and stuff, when they show you that there's a main character that didn't know that they had superpowers, and then, like, they need some wise sage or guru or guide to, like, explain to them, like, hey, you know, you're the one, you have superpowers or whatever, they always have to, like, they need a guide. They need somebody to, like, teach them and practice, to help them to practice manifesting these things and using these things. It's not like you just all of a sudden know how to, like, freeze things with your mind or whatever, right? These things take practice. And some people who are already good at it in the modern world, although it may be slow going, will be extremely good at it in the world to come. And some people will tune into it. Another one, women are going to get a lot of superpowers. Just, I don't know, thought I'd throw that out there. I think that will make a lot of people happy, or at least half of you. But women get also increased telepathic powers, because women, that's your natural ability, is you're more tuned in to that feminine energy of reception, right? And men are more like direct. So men's minds and thoughts and feelings and emotions and all that stuff will be projected without them even at least from the survivors, because we're just used to it. We feel we've gotten a little too comfy in this world where we feel like our thoughts are all hidden. I just won't say that and then no one will know. Well, guess what? That's not the way it's going to be in the world to come, especially when you've got all these psychic chicks walking around that can easily just read your male dominant projected thoughts, that because you're just putting them out there. That's what the male energy is. It's out. It's outward. It projects. It goes out. The female energy naturally takes things in, right? So they absorb and they're more in tune. They're more empathetic, I guess you could say. So that is also a superpower that will be extremely amplified in the world to come for women specifically. There's always anomalies and exceptions. So there's men that are more in tune to their feminine energy, and telepathy will be easier for them. And then, you know, of course, people along with that will come people having to learn how to block their thoughts. You know what I mean? Like, and this will happen with the giants as well, too. It's not like, you know, they don't get any kind of superpowers or whatever, either. So, you know, just being a giant comes with certain attributes and stuff like that as well. Now, when the world is filled with giants once more, you have to keep in mind that we will inevitably, eventually, go through another reset. So the world to come will look much like this image right here of the Star Wars picture. Very deserty, especially in areas where there was once a lot of water. The oceans especially will be just desert all over the place. Very warm and hot and stuff. The other places that support life, especially in the mountainous areas, will be tropical. They'll be beautiful and full of fruits and vegetables and things like that. But places where there's a lot of sand and stuff, especially like where the oceans are now, and those oceans will be removed. Those oceans will disappear one day. Those giants will also go through an apocalyptic event. Now, we're lucky living during this time because we are small enough to like go hide in crevices and caves and mountains and make little homes for ourselves, but not so much luck for huge and gigantic troll-like giant creatures that are just stuck wandering about, walking the land. They don't have houses to go into for the most part. You know, many of them won't even have clothes and stuff. So they're also going to be that much closer to all of that electrical activity that's happening above our heads whenever the sky opens again, the world depressurizes again, and all that plasma comes down trying to ground itself. And guess what it's going to want to touch first? Big, huge electrical beings, humans, giant ones, right? And if they get hit by a powerful enough charge, I believe it's possible for that plasma to rearrange the bonds, the chemical and electrical bonds in their bodies, all throughout their bodies, and oftentimes solidifying those bonds or creating stronger bonds, basically, which means that they become petrified. That means that many of those giants from the times long ago, if they were out caught in the open and they didn't have a place to hide, that they took a huge risk of dying in multiple ways. Okay, so this could be another huge reason why those giants died off so quickly. One of them would be instant petrification from above, okay, where the bonds are rearranged in their bodies and they just turn into rock and oftentimes explode because of that, because of the gases and stuff that are also all throughout their body. Oftentimes they'll just explode because you know, the gases will separate, but the physical structure will solidify, and so they burst, they explode. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes they remain and they become more statuesque, I guess you could say, right? This is also referenced, I believe, in the Bible when it talks about Lot's wife, right? Where fire and brimstone were raining down on Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And man, that takes us into the signs and the omens and the signs of these times that we live in, you know, being in Sodom and Gomorrah these days. I also posted a quick short on my channel. I posted a few brand new shorts, and one of them makes reference to in the ancient times, there was different cultures that have stories about trying to get to the moon, that they had a moon race, a race to the moon, like trying to get up there. So it seems to me that could tie into the modern age where everyone's trying to get to the moon. It's like, why are they trying to get to the moon so bad? Maybe some people know that they want to get out of this world, you know, when the apocalypse happens or whatever. So they start, you know, building their technology. I'm getting off track from all that. Anyway, in the world to come, I believe that the conditions change altogether. Those conditions allow for gigantic growth, which would be, or seem to be, more of an impossibility or an improbability in the modern age, in the world that we live in today. And also, see like that one, how that dude was like a giant, but he was like a tree. That's a cartoonification of all this nature that grows on the bodies of huge beings, right? You got stuff growing on you right now. It's just that it's so small, you don't bother with it. You don't see it, or, you know, you'll get to that when you take a shower because it's nothing you can really see or whatever. Imagine the kind of stuff that we will notice on huge, gigantic beings, right? The stuff that grows on them and stuff. They'll be a lot closer to nature because, like I said, they're not likely to have houses that they could just walk into and stuff. They're probably going to be wanderers, you know, and help out when and where they can or whatnot. Another thing is that they will experience time differently. Larger creatures experience time much differently than smaller creatures. Smaller creatures tend to experience time much quicker, right? You know, like if you have a little puppy dog or something, you're basically moving 7 times slower than it's experiencing time because they live 7, you know, their lifespan is like, 7 dog years or whatever, right? But that's just a comparison. That's just so you can get an idea of what it's like. So that's why whenever we depict giants in the movies, cartoons, TV shows, and comic books and all that stuff, that's why they tend to move really slow. Don't get me wrong, they can move quick, okay? Just like when you're trying to swat a fly, right? Like that fly is just it's dodging the heck out of you because it's super tiny and its metabolism is way faster. And it's just like it's living in fast forward in comparison to you, or inversely, you're living in slow motion compared to the fly. But you can be aware of that, and you could go like extra super fast on purpose to try to beat that fly to wherever it's going so you can smack it out of the air or whatever. So don't take them for granted. Hey, I just got a donation from Boogled in the chat. What's up, Boogled? Good to see you. All right, so anyways, there's a time differential between how they experience these things. Also, there's just a time differential between this world, the modern age, and how we experience time going into an age where your lifespans are extended, right? And I believe, don't get me wrong, that since I'm talking about extended lifespans and regeneration and stuff, I believe that the closer that a survivor or a person is to these places of power, where this terrestrial energy shoots up out of the earth and provides, you know, sustenance to the body, we'll say. The closer you are to those, stands to reason, the longer you're going to live. The better it's going to affect you. The better your health will be. The faster you'll regenerate. The quicker sicknesses will go away and disappear and stuff, which will happen a lot too. But the further away, of course, that you live from those places of power, then you won't live as long as the people who are closer to them, and you won't, you know what I mean? Like you will have less of the effects from the fountain of youth, essentially, than those who live in the fountain of youth or closer to it, right? So huge, gigantic beings will be able to work together with many of them, especially if you know, they're your family, you're just more inclined to work with your family and stuff. Of course, eventually wars will rise up as, you know, some family is going to offend some other family, and they're going to have disputes and stuff, and they're going to get their giant involved in it, and, you know, or whatnot, right? And then, of course, there's the anomalies of titanic beings. Those beings, like today, your average height, I think, is like for a man is like 5'11" or something, you know, maybe 5'10" or something like that. I don't know. But we have anomalies like Shaq, you know, the basketball player, and Yao Ming or whatever that dude's name is, like really extremely tall people that are twice the size. So imagine in a world where everyone's already gigantic, where you have a giant that grows and becomes a titan, basically, and or they have children and it's in their DNA and they can produce and they can, you know what I mean? Like you can breed titans at that point in time, basically. Orphic Metamorphic is in the chat and says, I can't wait for superpowers. I can't either. There's so many different ones. So this will be legendary times that we're going back to. Legendary times that once existed a long time ago will return to us again one day. Right now, we live in a liminal space. Right now, we live in between, right? We live in the space between the golden age, which is the bottom. We live in the bottom of the barrel. So that's why we have to basically, we've been forced to, but that's why we have come to rely on technology so much to try to get back some of what we have lost, which is superpowers, right? Now, technology is going to be a whole nother live stream that we're going to do all about artificial intelligence and technology basically that's spiraling out of control right now. I know you're seeing it. Right, everyone's getting all excited about like, oh, you could do this and you could do that. It's gonna make this easy. It's gonna make that easy and stuff. Okay, well, that's how it starts. That's how it always starts. You just wait, and we'll see what goes on. Anyways, gigantism. Does anyone in the chat have any questions about gigantism? Today's gonna be just sort of a shorter recap. I just want to like come back to that topic, and that's what I'm gonna start doing on this Ancient Oblivion series. I'm going to switch between Plasma Apocalypse and Ancient Oblivion, okay? Ancient Oblivion is going to focus more on the aliens, the elven race, the Anunnaki, the giants of old, the ways of the old world and ancient languages and stuff like that. The Plasma Apocalypse is going to be more about actual, like, the action of the apocalypse itself, the actual reset, how it works, how it happens, you know, when we can, you know, the times that we should be looking for it and stuff like that. All right, so I'm just in the chat real quick. I'm not putting anybody's comments on the screen. Because I got to go make dinner here in just a bit for my little guy. And I just want to see if anybody actually has a question about gigantism or, you know, how it would be, or if you have a comment maybe. All right. I don't see anything yet, but I know you guys are a few seconds behind me. So let me just scroll through and just double check. All right. So I'll recap while you guys think of any questions you may have. So in recap, giants definitely, in my opinion, and thousands of other people's, if not millions, giants existed. They made our way into pop culture and fiction and fantasy and stuff because they are breadcrumbs left over from an age and from a time when giants did exist. Gigantism, I believe, used to be common knowledge. That's why they didn't need, that's why in the Bible they didn't feel a need to include a whole chapter on, oh, by the way, this is all about what giants are, because everybody was a giant. Like, for the most part, in comparison to us today, who are tiny in stature, they were huge. But all of them were. That was just normal for them at the time, to grow huge and to be much healthier and, you know, all the other attributes that you have living closer back to the last reset point. And then, of course, we can look forward to that returning once more. Not just gigantism, right? And your children growing to be giants and being able to do things that giants can do. Which also stands to reason that if they're going to help us out, that you would help them too. So I'm sure that, like, if my son grows to be a giant and the apocalypse comes next year and he survives and I survive and he, you know, starts to grow out of control and just huge and stuff, of course, I'm going to go out and I'm going to make clothes for him and I'm going to help him out in ways that I know how to do. You know what I mean? I'm going to take care of mine and they're going to take care of me. Hopefully that works the same with you. All right. I'm looking in the chat and, oh, and also superpowers too. Don't forget that as well. And also the animals will grow to be gigantic. Okay, so animals will grow to be gigantic. The plants are going to grow the fastest. Okay, you can already, so those of you who live in places where, like, after it rains, you already notice like weeds popping up and plants popping up and stuff. Imagine what the plants are going to do in a world that's energetically amplified and there's vaporous atmosphere all over the place and stuff, right? Man, plants are going to be the first to start sprouting up super large, super fast, super big, and they'll probably, many of them will be able to move in ways that you never thought possible in today's world, which means many of those plants will be dangerous to you being a small person. So be careful. All right. Iron Horse. I see Iron Horse in the chat. It says, good day, J Dreamers. Here's a bit late. Do you think the giants cut down the giant trees? Yeah, I do. I think that's very reasonable. Maybe did a spot of mining, etc., when they were this side of Antarctica. So check this out. In the Book of Enoch, it says that the giants cut down the giant trees, or that the angels of God, all the angels are giants, basically. So, I mean, if we're talking about plasma or light beings and stuff like that, then they're shapeshifters. They can take on any size, basically, to a certain extent. But if we're talking about physical beings representative of angels, or those who floated down from God's abode or from space or from the heavens or whatever, those were gigantic. And I forgot to mention that too. Not only will our children grow to be gigantic in stature and huge in size, but they will also be able to mingle with those other bipedals, those other humanoids, those sliders, fractalverse travelers, whatever you want to call them, who have left their apocalypse through with their technology and their rockets and stuff, and they will come down into our world, and they will likely be gigantic. Okay, that's according to the legends. It seems like anything that drops out of the sky is huge if it's a life form, typically, right? There's always anomalies and exceptions, but anyways, that's also another way that they can procreate, right? If those giants that fell down from the skies, or those angels of God, or those fallen angels or whatever, if they were gigantic in size, people are like, no, that story's not true, because they wouldn't be able to procreate with tiny little people. Well, we weren't tiny little people, right? Now, some of us will be, or whatever. But still, that won't handicap you in some ways. All right. Let's see. We got History's Mysteries Unveiled says, how many generations descended from the original bull / angelic being? Do the offspring have extra fingers and toes? I don't know. I can't tell if that's a compound question or two different questions or what. How many generations descended from the original bull / angelic being? I don't know what you mean by bull. I don't believe that humans are born from bulls. Angelic beings, How many generations descended from angelic beings? I don't know. Probably, I'm sure they're still alive today, actually. I'm sure that there's descendants that are nobility, basically, in our world today that are descendant from those fallen angels or whatever. And also, do the offspring have extra fingers, toes, etc.? Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too. I do believe that people who grow to gigantic sizes after the apocalypse, that they're going to grow differently than we do now. Okay, like I talked about puberty, how we go through this one stage of puberty at an extremely young age, right? Like a person, in my opinion, should not be considered a grown adult able to take care of themselves or whatever at like 12. Okay, something's not right there. So I believe that there's going to be different phases of puberty that stagger out as you grow into your hundreds. You know what I mean? So one of those will be extra teeth growing. And that's the whole wisdom teeth. People are like, why do we have wisdom teeth? You know what I mean? Like, that's a remnant that is left over in your DNA and in your genes from a time whenever, you know, your body knew that occasionally it's going to need to sprout more teeth because you're going to live to be like 700 years old. You know, you got to keep on growing more teeth out as you're using them or whatever. That's just one example. All right, we got Julie Gardner who says, thank you. You're welcome. Who else? The chat skipped on me, so give me a sec. We got Dominique Devereaux. What's up, Dominique? Says, Jay Dreamers, how do giants walk around without stomping on people? Well, how do you walk around without stomping on insects? Do you consider them, right? Do you consider the ants or grasshoppers or whatever? They just have to look out. That's all. Plus, you have to take into account, if they're wanderers, they're probably more dangerous because they're not familiar with their surroundings. But if they're family, if they're local, then there's probably, you know, avenues for the giants. I doubt that they're going to use the same sidewalk that we would use. You know what I mean? So that it stands to reason for me that we would come up with new rules and new sort of regulations and guidelines if you're gigantic in size or if you're small as we try to coexist, right? Let's see. And let's. If you guys ask a question, please only ask one question just out of respect. I super appreciate it. But I'm going to answer this one too. How did people survive with carnivorous giants everywhere? And then you did an emoji of a dinosaur. How did people survive with carnivorous giants? Okay, so I'm going to answer that as far as like the giants being carnivorous. It's not just giants that become carnivorous or what do you call people that eat other humans? Cannibals, right? The little humans also become cannibalistic. So you have to also watch out for them. Wherever you go in life, there's going to be a spectrum between negative, neutral, and positive, right? Which is good, neutral, and evil as well, too. And then the dinosaurs and stuff like that. So, I mean, imagine, right, that you have kids, your great-grandchildren, that grow to be gigantic in proportion, and you stay the same small size, but you're worried because there's this huge phantasmoid, weird, insectoid, giant monster that just came up on your property, right? Hopefully, you'd be able to call your great-great-grandson or whatever to come step on it like a bug, right? That's one option. And that's one way that they could help us out and stuff too. Another one is that you're going to have to coexist. You're going to have to learn to coexist. If you stay here and you live amongst gigantic phantasmoids that, you know, in the form of what people call monsters and cryptids and all that type of stuff, you're going to have to learn their weaknesses. You're going to have to learn you're going to have to make a bestiary, basically. Well, you don't have to, but it would be wise, I would say, to learn, you know, the positive and negative attributes of these strange monsters that you live with. All right, cool. I think I got a donation from Exquirentibus Veritatum. Nice. I like that name. J Dreamers, thank you. Great show. You're super welcome. And thank you for your support. All right, cool. Well, hey, enjoy the new credits. I'm going to go ahead and take off for now. Do look forward to Sunday when we do our next Truth and Movies episode. And until then, I'm Jay Dreamer saying good vibes and goodbye.
Vast Multiverse. Yourself.